Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. Welcome to the Clutter Fairy Weekly for February 2nd, 2021. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, professional organizer and owner of The Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is our weekly webcast and podcast where we talk about all things organizing. And we scroll through all of your commenting and all of your shares everywhere on social media to get our topics. And we're very specifically doing that today. So thank you for doing that for us.
If you're joining us in the Zoom meeting for the first time, you can share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to make sure Gail gets to them before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature to let me know that you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video. We're also streaming live on Facebook, so you can share your questions and comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. And during the live webcast every Tuesday, you can talk to us by calling 669-900-6833, use meeting ID 993-419-863, and password clutter to join the meeting. As Gail said, we read through your comments. We also have been going through chat transcripts from our last year of the Clutter Fairy Weekly because we never get to everything. People, we have so much good feedback from people participating right. live. We never get to it all. And so we've been poring over those things and making notes. And one recurring theme that I kept finding over the last few weeks as I was reading chat transcripts is motivation. Lots and lots of people have said, we need to talk again about motivation. We've talked about it before, but I think it's a good thing to circle back to regularly. And as sort of a theme for today, I came across, I went looking for a quote and I found this one, which I really like. Success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. That was Winston Churchill, who had some noteworthy failures and some spectacular successes. So,
right.
Okay, Gail, take it away.
Okay, so I'm going to let Ellie's chat comment from January 21st introduce our topic today. She wrote this: maintaining motivation is a big topic. How about a session on motivation? Creating and starting, maintaining, ways not to lose it, etc. Since it's February 2nd and Groundhog Day, when the groundhog takes stock of his shadow to decide what to do next, it seemed like the perfect time to stop and take stock of how your organizing projects have been progressing. If you started a project in January, now's a good time to check in and see how it's going. After a month of concentration on decluttering, are you running out of steam? Is the first burst of New Year's enthusiasm waning for you? If you need some motivation to get back to it or to continue on, we want to help you out. So let's talk about cranking up your motivation. The first suggestion to improve your motivation is to identify a specific objective to work towards. Maybe you're hoping to downsize to a smaller house or apartment, and maybe that goal is imminent or it's a future plan towards your retirement. So you can look at floor plans and visualize your stuff in a different place. What will fit where and what won't? One of our viewers wrote, Bonnie wrote that, my motivation to keep decluttering is that we want to move to a smaller house across the country from where we are now to be near our daughters and families as we retire. Having lived here for 29 years, there's lots to remove, and I can imagine. I look at floor plans for smaller houses and use that as a goal to downsize to. What a great idea. And I think it's also a good reality check to do that, because we imagine that we're going to downsize into a smaller house and we think, okay, we're going to go from 2,000 square feet to 1,200, or we're going to go from 3,000 square feet to 1,000. And it's a huge change, and yet we don't make the appropriate change in our belongings to match it. So going through the exercise of finding a floor plan and measuring furniture, charting it out, seeing where you would put it in a new place will make it very clear very quickly that you cannot jam as much into a smaller house as you think, and that you're going to have to downsize more than you realize. So I think this is a great motivation. Thank you, Bonnie, for that report, that idea. And even when you're trying to move, even if you just need to move in general, having the floor plan in the new place and mapping out in advance where you want the furniture to go will help you realize how the new house has changed in shape and layout so that the way that you put things in the old house will not necessarily translate to the new house. And you may end up, it'll help you identify things that you need to get rid of because there's no space for it in the new house. You have this huge, huge table, and there the new dining room is half the size of the old dining room, and there's no place for it to fit in. And so it's a great way to check out, yeah, I can't just pack up everything I own and put it in the new house and then hope it works out. The floor plan will help you stay motivated to keep letting go of stuff because it'll be very clear what will and won't fit into the new space.
We lived that example
Right?
dramatically last year because although we moved from a two bedroom apartment to another two bedroom apartment, but we actually got an additional 100 square feet, but the additional
Cool.
100 square feet was in our big, beautiful living space, common area. And our apartment has 13 lovely windows. We're along, we're on a corner of the building, and so we have tons and tons of windows. The downside to that is we have almost no wall space.
Right, like it took out walls on two whole sides of the apartment.
Yeah, so there are only a couple of big walls where big furniture can stand. And
Big
so
artwork can be hung, that kind of stuff.
we have almost no space for artwork. So we had to get rid of several large pieces of furniture that just there was going to be no place for them.
And this happens a lot. People think, you know, that's my favorite table. I love that table. I have to take it. And then they get into the apartment or the new space, the new house, and it's like, there's no place to put this thing. I can't. I wedged it in with a crowbar and it's in the way and I hate it. So there is some adjustment to the idea of going from one layout to another layout. You will not be able to peel up your old house and lay it straight back down into the new house because it's not designed the same. And so there will be some loss that is generated not by your lack of liking the item, but because it doesn't actually work in the new house. And so coming to that realization before the movers drop the new piece off, drop off the piece of furniture is probably a good plan so that you don't have to move it at all. You can just go, yeah, this is never going to fit anywhere. I need to let it go and get adjusted to that idea. Okay, so that's the floor plan idea. Then maybe you want a new purpose for part of your space. Like this is another specific objective that you can work for. Is there a space you'd like to repurpose for, say you want a home office or you want a craft room or you want a guest bedroom? So Christine in this same chat on January 12th said, I asked myself, what do I need space for? And then I look around the house for what I can clean out to make that happen. That's the definition of letting the new vision drive the project. I want a craft room, so what can I remove to create empty space for one? If you have to do that end goal in mind to help you see your space in a new way, that's the perfect way to generate some motivation. I want a home office, and it isn't, I want to wedge a home office in between here. It's where can I scrape off everything and create a new blank canvas to put in a home office? And so, using your end goal, your new idea, your new want in the house to drive your motivation to clear off a space, this is a great idea. Anybody that wants a craft room, you know you're going to have to take it out of somebody else's space. That craft room is always, I have to get rid of a guest room. I have to use one of my kids' rooms. You're going to have to take one of those bedrooms or extra rooms and create the craft room. And so, imagining that that's your end goal will help you plow through and empty a space to create what you're wanting to have instead. Okay. The next idea for influencing your motivation is to recognize and adapt to changes in your life. So here's the examples. There's lots of major life events that might trigger this. So, is there a death? Has there been a death in the family? Does somebody have an illness, whether it is short term or long term? Has somebody gotten divorced? Has there been a new marriage and people are moving in together? One of you has retired or lost your job. maybe there's an empty nest effect, like everybody's gone off to school and now you don't have kids in the house anymore. These can all have big motivating effects. If you stop and look at what major life change has happened recently that might require me to make some changes here. So Jane said in the same chat on January 12th, she said, after retiring, I came to the realization that areas in my home could change to meet my new realities. Since I worked from home the last 4 years, the first change was deconstructing the office area. Woohoo! That must have been so exciting to go, let's just take down the office area. She goes on to say, there are other areas, though, that have been and continue to be rethought for current rather than past needs. So any major change in the status quo will point out areas where that change can be reflected in your environment. After a divorce, major changes to your space might feel cathartic, while doing the same thing after an empty nest might make you cry. But it's all in an effort to help you adjust to your new normal. And all of these events that are so big and so life-changing. Another one that happens is a new baby. I was just on Sunday helping somebody who's pregnant, and she and her husband both work. And so they're desperately trying to get the baby's room set up, and they bought a house in August. And so they moved in and they're not quite moved in all the way. It's like the baby is coming whether you're ready or not. So I went over there Sunday to help, and adjusting their environment to receiving a new baby, their first baby, is a big shift in how their house is laid out. And the baby, of course, is taking over a room, and they have to change how the den is set up. And there's all this stuff that has to be changed to accommodate a baby. So when there's a death in the family, it might take a little bit more time to get motivated to make those shifts. You may not want to do that right away, but all of the other life events, illness, divorce, marriage, retirement, empty nest, these are all things that you can, if you recognize that you have now gone through a major life event, then you can stop and go, okay, so in the light of this new thing, how am I going to change my space? How am I going to declutter, shift around, relay out the house, reclaim spaces? You can think your way through how this shift has changed your use of the space and how you want to reflect that in your organizing efforts. So this is a big, if you're keeping that goal in mind, now I've gotten married, we got to move everything in together. Now I'm retired and I get to move a bunch of stuff out. And so they're all motivation to keep in mind to let you change your space around.
Well, and we point this out, and it may say, you know, to some people, it may seem obvious. You know, I've had a big change in my life. Of course, things are going to change, except that we all get stuck in habits. We all have habitual ways of doing things, and sometimes the habits outlive the original causes.
Yeah, the purpose that, for the habit.
That helped us establish those habits. So that refers to keeping things we no longer need. For example, you know, there's sort of the habit of having a printer.
Right.
And when you're not working from home anymore,
who cares, right?
Or you've moved to a place where there's a printer in the business office or something, you don't need that printer. You can let that habitual way of thinking go.
And you know, one of them that comes to mind is as you say that, was when kids go off to college. I know people that cook, they're used to cooking for four or five people, and then suddenly they only have to cook for two. And cooks usually have a hard time adjusting down the volume that they cook to go with the amount of people in the house. And I think that there's a reduction in stuff equivalent to that process. It's something that we get in the habit, like you get in the habit of cooking for five, and then you have to go, oh, wait, there's not five people in the house anymore. I can cook differently now. And I need to be conscious about changing that habit into, you know, see what is my new behavior going to be? What's my new idea going to be? How am I going to do it differently? And the furniture in the house, the way that the house is laid out, these are all part of the creating the environment that you get used to and that you sort of don't see anymore. And so recognizing that you're sort of used to how everything is, and you have to very consciously go and stand in the kids' room or stand in the corner of the dining room and go, why is that stuff there again? And does it really need to be there now? Oh yeah, that was there when the kids used to do the homework at the dining table. But now this whole setup of stuff over here in the corner is not necessary because that's never going to happen anymore. It is a conscious evaluation that sort of breaks through your habit of how the house is laid out to try to imagine, see it differently, and motivate you to make change. So another idea for jazzing your motivation could be to use emotional triggers. So here's some examples about that. How might the things I'm holding on to benefit someone else right now? So perhaps helping others is a motivation for you when helping yourself is not. I find this true in a very direct way, that people will keep the public areas of their house clean and presentable and ignore their own bedroom and bathroom where nobody else goes. There, some people are motivated by what others see and what others, how it impacts others, way more than they're motivated by how it impacts themselves. So if you can be motivated by the idea of gifting things to others, then maybe instead of going, do I need this? You can ask yourself, how will this, can I give this to somebody else? Will someone else benefit from this thing? And maybe that's the motivation direction that will allow you to let it go to someone else and let it leave the house so that you're not the keeper of it anymore. Another emotional trigger is about negative feelings that clutter creates for you. How would it feel to alleviate those negative emotions? Speaking of helping yourself, if clutter makes you feel bad about yourself, striving to change those negative feelings can be a motivation. Recognizing that clutter makes you feel bad, sometimes not wanting to feel bad anymore is the only thing that makes you face a chore you don't want to do. Sometimes people are only motivated by that negative response. The idea of taking care of themselves or being proactive or planning in advance isn't enough, but the sudden realization that it has now gotten so bad you can't take it for one more minute is sometimes the motivation that you need. So recognizing that the clutter makes you feel bad in some way and trying to make that feel better for yourself is a motivating goal. Thinking like, I know I don't want to do this, but I want to feel better. I don't want to feel miserable when every time I walk by this room, this pile, this box. And so striving to cancel out how bad you feel is sometimes enough of a motivation to get you going. If helping unknown others through donation, like when you donate, you don't know exactly who's going to get it. But if that's not enough to motivate you, then what about helping your family specifically instead? So you can remind yourself that you're doing the work to declutter so you're not leaving your mess for someone else to deal with when you're gone. Everything that you take out of the house is one less thing your family has to cry over when you're gone. And if you are of an age where you've had to close down and empty a relative's house, you know what happens. You go in there and you start working and everything makes you cry. So it's a very kind gift to give your family. And it can be very motivating to recognize that if I take this to Goodwill now, then my son or daughter doesn't have to take it to Goodwill later. They don't have to pick it up, make a decision about it, put it in the car and drive it away and feel guilty or feel sad. It's one less thing that they have to cry over. And so if that sort of anonymous feeling of donation isn't a sufficient motivator, then maybe making it easy for your kids or your, if you don't have kids, if your nearest relative has to come clean it out, your sibling is going to come clean it out, then using that very direct family relationship to motivate you to keep going is a possibility. Might help you. Another thought that we had about motivation was, do you need a partner to keep you going? So you can cultivate a habit or routine of organizing in concert with something else. And a lot of our viewers and listeners report working on decluttering tasks while they listen to our video or podcast. So if you've got us chattering in the background, keeping you company, sometimes that's motivation enough to keep you focused and let you make motion about it. And so once a week, there's a new video. So once a week, you can sit and listen to us and get something done while you listen to us talk.
Well, and we're so long-winded that we're giving you a good solid 50 minutes every week, sometimes more. So,
right. There's always something to listen to that'll keep you at least an hour into your project, right? So, and for those of you that you can just let it play, right? One can finish, you can go on to the next one. So if you want to keep at it for 2 hours, you can listen to the next video. I know that it's a little self-serving for us to recommend listening to us, but any video about organizing, anybody talking in the background about decluttering can help you stay focused on the concept of decluttering while you're actually doing it yourself. And it's a way for you to have a partner when you don't actually have a partner there helping you do it.
Well, and in all seriousness, I think that listening helps take some of the focus off of the task. So having something motivating playing, having something, even if it's just not motivating, just distracting,
yeah,
it can sort of take your mind off the boredom or the
irritation,
you know, the difficulty and of tedious repetitive decisions. You know, if you have to dig through a pile of paper, you better have something else going on to make it, you know, to keep your mind active and awake long enough to get through the stack.
Yeah, and maybe not get bogged down as easily, right?
Yeah.
If you are somebody that gets distracted by, you know, secondary noise, that's fine. But most people enjoy the company of partnership, and listening to a video or podcast is a way to feel like you're not alone. And so we strive to provide that opportunity and provide that material for you so that you can do your thing. You're a self-motivated person, and you can have us in the background cheering you on. You can also ask for help. So if you establish a support system or a supportive environment, like participating in this webcast, which all of you guys are doing, which is wonderful, watching the videos or listening to podcasts, this is something you can do. Enlisting a friend who you trust or an objective family member as a decluttering partner. Objective is the operative word here. You can have them participate with you in person, or you guys can be accountability partners for each other. Maybe you just each want to, you want, you and your friends want to partner on organizing, like people partner on exercising. So checking in, doing it at the same time. Maybe you can talk to each other while you're working on it. Maybe you can say by text, "Hi, I'm going to start my project now. You know, check in with me in an hour and see how I'm doing." Anything like that that works for both of you. You can let somebody that you know and that you can verbalize with physically support you in your getting organized. I will say, I was talking to somebody yesterday who has a big project in front of her. She came down to take care of her mother at the beginning, right before the pandemic, from Massachusetts. And they all came down, or just her, she and her husband and her child, they all came down. And then during the year, her mother passed away. And so now they're building a house here. They have to empty her mother's house, and they have to move from Massachusetts. So they have three projects going at once. And she's a little overwhelmed, and her best friend has offered to fly out from California and come stay for a few days and help her go through her mother's closet, which is a big, big walk-in closet. And the client has declared this very painful and difficult to go through. It's going to be hard. And of course, every woman keeps a lot of very personal things. Aside from the clothes and the shoes, there's lots of personal things in there. And so the closet is kind of this little personal hidey hole. So it's a place that is going to be hard for her, and she wants one of her friends to come and help. And so I coached her a little bit and said, it's great that your friend is helping, and she's going to be super active about, let's get something done, go, 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 go. And you just have to recognize that she's not going to have the emotional response you are. And so you want somebody who can stop and wait or support you when you're having an emotional response. And so if you enlist someone to come over and physically be there with you to help you, then you just want to make sure it's somebody who can support you in your emotional response to the process and not make you feel bad or judge you or be harsh with you or anything like that. We don't want somebody being mean to you. Ed, if somebody has their hand raised.
Whoops, once again, I forgot to unmute myself. Yes, Peggy has her hand raised. And so, Peggy, go ahead if you'll unmute yourself.
Yeah. Okay. I am downsizing from a 2,500 square foot house to 1,600, and I think I've decluttered enough mostly to fit in. But my husband has dementia, and it's there's a lot of sentimental things. When we married, we started every year, we got a Christmas music box. So now I have 36 Christmas music boxes, and I haven't been able to emotionally depart with them. And I know I don't need to bring them with me. So, and I have them all labeled what year it's from in little boxes. And
so how big are the little boxes, each one individually? Just give me an idea.
Well, when you add them all together, it's about 8 or 9 tubs.
Oh, of like a
you know,
Rubbermaid,
it's got the little boxes in the tubs. Yeah, you know, like, you know, like Walmart tubs.
Right.
And
okay.
I mean, I've asked my children if they want any of them, and like, do I want to keep extending the collection? I mean, I really think it's time to stop, but emotionally, it's
it's very hard. I get it.
Even though my husband doesn't remember doing it or anything, it doesn't really mean anything to him.
But it clearly it means something to you, right? Like you haven't forgotten about it, and it's important. So this is one of those keepsakes where it's 3D enough that it has some restricting volume. Like there's a lot, it takes up a lot of space, right?
And I won't have room in my new house to display them all at Christmas, I don't think. So,
right. So you can take out some of them. So I guess one thing that you might want to do is imagine not getting rid of the collection, but shrinking it down. So you could either pick your favorites, or you could pick, you know, every fifth one, the first one, the fifth one, the 10th one, the 15th one, the 20th one, something like that.
Right.
Or 1, 4, 8, 12. Like, you know, you can decide what way you want to shrink it down to be to make you feel comfortable. And I guess the question is deciding, you know, do you want to be able to put out 10 at Christmas time? Do you want to be able to put out 6 at Christmas time? Like, what's your target there? And see if you can let go of some of them.
Okay. And then my other question is, my husband was a photographer, and we had a million back before digital. And so we had lots and lots and lots and lots of framed photos. And I have taken the majority of those out of the frames, gotten rid of the frames, and put them in an album, which takes up less space. But I still have
that's
like
a good idea.
I still have like 6 baby pictures I used to have hung at the end of the hallway that of my kids that I haven't been able to bring myself to take those out of the frames yet.
Well, that's okay. So, it sounds to me like you've reduced the volume a lot.
Yeah, I have.
You know, that's what you're aiming for, right? So if these are the 6 that are the most important to you and you want to be able to put them up, then, you know, that's okay. Like you can, if you've taken the full collection and you're down to 6 out of 50, then you're doing good. And that is a downsizing that matches the change in square footage that you've made. So I think you're okay.
Okay. Well, I've been working. I listen to your things all the time, like you said, while I'm doing it. And it helps me a lot. So.
Well, and I'm sorry that, you know, if your husband has dementia, then I'm sure he's not able to help you very much. And I'm
not at all. Not
you're
at
doing
all.
This by yourself, right? But
yes.
And I would use this transition as time to give things to the kids or make them make decisions. Like you have now stopped being the storage unit for your children. So anything that you find that it's time to either take it or I'm giving it away because we don't have room anymore. This is your transition point. They very obviously support you letting it go. And so
you've encouraged me very much in that matter. They're getting a little tired of it because I'll send them pictures and say, all right, this is going. If you don't say yes right now, it's right now you have to decide. And they're like, oh my gosh.
Well, and you know what? If they give you a hard time, you just say, better now than when I'm gone. You don't want to have to deal with this when I'm gone. So do it now while you can talk to me about it. And
yes. So, but
be nice to your mother.
I appreciate your podcast and your your videos because they do help me a lot. But thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for asking the question. I appreciate it, Peggy.
Thanks, Peggy.
Awesome.
From Facebook, Donna said, I need to find my motivation. Not having anyone over has made me more lazy than ever at doing the daily and weekly stuff. So I have clutter overload at this point.
Because, you know, we're barely putting our pants on every day as it is.
Right. And Charity mentioned, a couple of people have mentioned, well, Peggy was one of them. She mentioned this on Facebook too, but Charity said downsizing over the next few months, currently 2,000 square foot, including house, garage, and storage, and now down to 1,220, including all storage and balcony. And she's moving from a country house to a condo in a high rise, a big change to the stuff barometer.
That is a big change. And it's also a big change in layout. When you go from a space that has a big garage and sort of outdoor spaces to a condo, a townhouse, a high rise, then you basically lose your garage or anything that even remotely resembles a garage. And so the idea of all of the things that you've been putting in the garage so you didn't have to deal with it, or so that you could keep it and not get rid of it, it's going to force you to finally let go of all of that stuff, including, you know, the biggest adjustment I think that older couples have when they downsize is the husband has this massive garage with all these tools and yard equipment, and then they move into some place that has no such related space. And so they have to surrender all of their tools and yard stuff, which they're probably not wrenching with anyway. They're not in there doing anything about it, but it's a final let go of this is the, we have to make all this go away. And the garage stuff is the garage, the attic, the basement. Those are the kinds of spaces that you lose when you get into smaller and smaller spaces because they want to retain your living area. And so you start losing all the extra storage and other spaces that are not part of your daily living area. Those are the ones that you start to lose. And so it means that you end up going through a bunch of stuff that you've been keeping for forever that you now have to make the final, okay, I get to release this back into the wild again. It's got to go because it won't fit.
Lorraine, who is here with us in Zoom, said, when we built the house, I already started with my own craft room, but throughout the years, it has become the dumping zone and now looks like a hoarder's room, which, by the way, has become my new office since COVID.
Uh-oh. So that space was not prepared for you to be in there working all the time. And what a hassle that must be, because then all the stuff is in there yelling at you, like you're sitting in there looking at doing work and trying to work and the whole room is like going, right? Yes. So having to work in there is a good motivation to get on it and make it happen. I think that one of the side effects of moving is that it requires a massive amount of effort and disruption. The whole getting ready to move process is very energy draining, and it uses up all of your reserves. And the moving truck comes and dumps it off at the other end, and then everybody just sort of collapses. It's like, we made it. But then you're left with the reverse process of taking it all back out of the boxes and putting it up. And that requires a whole nother round of energy. And so usually everybody burns out on the front end. And then when it comes time to undo on the back end, they don't have anything left. And so they do as much as they can stand, and then they leave it all for later, or they fill up the junk room, and it takes a while to recover before you can go back in and try to wrap up the process. And so if you've never gone circled back and finished your unpacking or finished your moving in, then finishing that process can be a motivation too, finally.
On the topic of changing habits, Karen, who's watching on Facebook, said, I come from a family of holiday decorators and finally realized I don't have to be like them.
Oh, that's a big one.
Now I am purging most of my decorations. And that speaks to habitual thinking. Sometimes we pick up habits of thinking on our own, and sometimes they get handed down to us from our families.
From our families, right.
And we have to make a conscious choice and say, yeah, that's not what I want to do. That's not how I want my space to be filled or my time.
Right. And, you know, I always celebrate the holidays with my family members, not at my house. And so I don't get a bunch of decorations out here, because then I leave at Christmas and the house is empty and the cats, I don't want the cats there with all of my holiday decorations while I'm gone for 2 weeks. And so it has never been my habit to decorate my own house very much at all. And my mother always decorated. My sister had the kids. And of course, they have a blowout decoration at their house. And it's a huge undertaking to redo everything in your house to make it holiday themed, and then to undo it all and put it away on the back end. And so, as a, you know, evidenced by everybody taking their Christmas tree down in February, they leave it there because they don't want to face putting it away for such a long time. And so it is a process that if it's not your thing, you don't have to do it. And just because your mother did it or your other family members did it doesn't mean that you have to do it. And like you said, we absorb what we experience, but we don't always have to pick up the habit. And noticing that for some relative, it is fun to be decorating. And for you, you are decorating and being irritated about it. And once you realize that you don't have to be irritated, you can choose something else. I think it allows you to release things, and that's awesome. I know this is a short list of motivation changes, but I'm betting there's something there that can help spark you to get back to it. And checking in with yourself periodically will help you stay on target. And if we don't have any other questions, then I think we can jump to the homework.
Well, we have a million comments. Let me just add a couple more. Jane, on the topic of thinking about others as motivation, Jane said, it is motivating to get things to others when they need them. I donated 4 jackets in January. I had more than I needed and wasn't wearing them. And it's, you know, the time of year when there are a lot of people struggling to stay warm.
Looking for a coat they can afford, right?
Yeah. And Isabel said, not only is it useful to listen to the videos or I don't know if she does videos or podcasts or just listens in on the live webcast, but using the weekly meetings here as a deadline for projects helps. So by the time of the meeting, you know, she can set a goal of wanting to have finished project XYZ.
That's awesome. Good for you. That's a great motivation. And just using it so you're using the podcast as an accountability partner, which is awesome. And that means that you can, you know, okay, now I have a Tuesday deadline. And, you know, sometimes just like taxes, would you ever get around to your taxes if you weren't legally forced to do it? I don't think so.
And Joyce chimed in on that too and said, I've used these Tuesday meetings as a deadline for at least accomplishing something, even if it's not the homework assignment. And that really
whatever works.
That's part of why we added the homework assignment as a feature. And speaking of the homework assignment, we have closed submissions for the contest. We have narrowed it down to some finalists, and we will over the next week, we're going to pick and announce the winner and get in touch with someone who's going to get an hour of virtual organizing for free.
Can't wait. And Linda has her hand up.
Oh, Linda, please go ahead and unmute yourself and talk
to us.
Hi.
I'm not sure I really meant to raise my hand, but I do have something to add.
Okay.
My primary motivation is something that you said, Gail, during a podcast on clutter and aging. You said, do it while you have the capacity. And those words are my motivation day in and day out. And I thank you for them, and they might help somebody else.
That is a great reminder. Thank you for reminding me about that, because you're exactly right. As someone who is limping around with a knee problem right now, there is, you never know when you're not going to have the capacity anymore. And like Peggy was talking about her husband with dementia, now he cannot be helpful to her. And so I'm sure that he intended to help her with this process when it came around, and he's just not able to. So recognizing that you can procrastinate while you have capacity, but when you lose capacity, it doesn't matter anymore. So you really do want to try to get it done while it's easy and you're physically able and you're emotionally able and you're mentally able to do it. And so, great reminder. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it.
So last week's homework was about safety and ease of access. Mm-hmm. And Nancy has reported, we are heading to Lowe's when my husband gets back today to buy 3 fire extinguishers and 3 smoke alarms, a leftover goal after last week's meeting. So that's terrific.
Yay. Good for you.
Congratulations on getting that taken care of. You will have so much more peace of mind. So a couple of quick announcements, and then I'll come back to you for the homework assignment, Gail.
Okay.
I want to remind our viewers and listeners that we have a YouTube channel containing more than 150 videos on a wide variety of topics. Go to cfhou.com/YouTube to look at the collection. Subscribe to our channel while you're there and click on the bell icon next to the subscribe button if you'd like to get notifications when we post new content. Or you just come back every week, because we are putting something there every week. And we want to say thank you again to our Patreon supporters. If you would like to help support our efforts with a recurring monthly donation, please visit cfhou.com/Patreon. In fact, if you, Gail, point to your upper left, right there, up there at the corner, there's a little information button on the YouTube video. Those who are watching live will not see it yet, but there's a button up there. And if you click that, it takes you, there's a link that will take you to Patreon where you can make a recurring monthly donation to support our projects. Also a reminder that you can hire Gail. If you're in the Houston area, you can make arrangements with Gail for a COVID safe method of working together to organize. And if you are not in the Houston area, you can still hire Gail to work virtually. Visit cfhou.com/virtual for information about how that works.
I have a lot of fun on those virtual calls. It's a lot more, it's a lot easier to do than I thought it would be. And I can make a lot of suggestions just by watching you walk around and show me your stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay, let's talk about this week's homework.
We called it Reboot Your Resolutions in tandem with our topic today about motivation. Did you launch 2021 with a New Year's resolution about getting your home organized? And how is that going for you? So studies have found that 80% of New Year's resolutions crash and burn by the start of February. But we think that Clutter Fairy fans can do better. The homework for this week is to evaluate your decluttering resolution or resolutions if you have more than one. If you're doing well, give yourself a pat on the back and tell us all about it. If you've started to stumble, take a closer look at your resolution and see how you might make it more achievable. Are you having trouble with the size or scope of the project? Then you can scale it down. Try redefining the project on a smaller scale. For instance, instead of taking on reorganizing your home office, limit the scope of the project to one filing cabinet or one filing cabinet drawer, or to a stack of 10 folders. Are you unclear about what you're aiming for? Take a step back and write down one key goal that you'd like to achieve. Then write down 2 or 3 actions that you'll need to take to move towards that goal. So it sounds like the person that just shared that they're gonna go get their fire extinguishers, that's the 2 or 3 steps that they're aiming for to make the house more safe. You can do the same. Figure out what you're trying to get done and just pick one goal and the steps to get to that one goal. And that one goal does not need to be organize my house. It needs to be a smaller goal than that, a little bit more targeted focus. is the timeline of the project too overwhelming? So the time frame, I'm sorry, the time frame of the project too overwhelming. So that's not a problem. That's why the Clutter Fairy long ago started recommending new month's resolutions instead of new year's resolutions. So scale the objective and the timeline down to a single month. Think about and write down what you hope to accomplish in February instead of what you hope to accomplish in 2021. That way you're making a, you're in essence making a shorter target and a shorter time frame to accomplish it. And then you can redo it again at the beginning of March. What am I going to accomplish in March? What am I going to try to focus on in March? It's a way for you to not be overwhelmed by the scale and the scope of how big the project is you're tackling. And you're just going to pick your one bite for the month and what you're going to focus on and let that be your motivation for that month. And hopefully get past being too overwhelmed. If you didn't make any resolutions at all, that's okay too. Just take a few moments this week to reflect on your decluttering journey and share the next key goal that you'd like to take on. Maybe you can write it down for yourself or post it up on a wall. The idea is just to constantly have a goal or target in mind and keep aiming towards it until you accomplish it. And then you can take a step back and go, woohoo, well, you're going to do the happy dance and then pick the next goal to move forward. Whatever it takes to keep you in motion, that's what we're aiming for. And so either check out your resolutions or check out the next thing that you want to get accomplished, whatever gets you going. Okay.
All right. Our next meeting is Tuesday, February 9th, 2021 at noon U.S. Central Time, live in Zoom and streaming on Facebook. If you're watching this on YouTube, we'd love for you to join us live. To get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by going to cfhou.com/Facebook. Or join our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We love to hear from you, so please keep those questions, comments, and topic suggestions coming in YouTube comments, on Facebook, on meetup.com, or anywhere that you find us. And you can always reach us through our website at clutterfairyhouston.com.
Great to see you guys this week. I'm so glad that you came back. I hope that you're making headway on your projects. And we'll be back next week to talk to you about it some more. Thanks.
Bye-bye.